thanks, Jenny, Colin, and Esme for leading us in singing. And thanks, Joshua, for reading us, reading for us the scripture text for today. Before I begin on the text itself, I think I'll just give a reminder, a comment on what we're doing in our sermons series this time. Around this time, we have begun a series called Jesus, A Life on Mission, A Life of Mission. And we are the theme for the year this year is mission. And we have looked at figures in the Old Testament, in the book of Acts, and we are sort of rounding back to Jesus Christ and looking at his life as a life of mission. And we are specifically looking at the works of Jesus, like the activities of Jesus, as a sort of a corollary with his words as well. So even as we listen to Jesus, we are also looking at what Jesus does, his life, is the way he lived. So that's what our theme is on, and today is the second part of that theme. And the title is a bit lengthy, but it's called Jesus Cleanses the Leper and Heals the Sick. And so, yeah, that's a text for today, Mark chapter 1 and the beginning part of chapter 2. I think this is a story, as Joshua has read out for us, this is a story that may be quite familiar to most of us. It's a very dramatic story, the healing of the leper, first of all, and the healing of the paralytic in the second part. A very dramatic story, a story of healing. We know that the life of Jesus was associated with miracles. He was known as, one of his tagline was a miracle worker, a miracle working God, and he was well known for that as well. And in this particular two stories, back-to-back stories, we see that he heals the leper and he heals the paralytic. Again, as I mentioned, it's a well-known story, even for me as well. I grew up listening to, from Sunday school, but this time when I read it, a few things stood out for me, and I would like to share from that aspect. And the thing that stood out for me the most is the way Jesus affirms the full humanity, the full range of humanity, not just one aspect, but the full range of humanity, what it means to be human. And just to elaborate on what I mean by that, I'd like to just give a bit of a short comment on what happened in the last week. I was reading an article about a particular monk from Africa, and apparently this monk, he went into meditation for 20 years, and he lived by himself, and after 20 years he came out from his meditation, and apparently after he came out he was this very stoic, you know, very stable kind of person, like almost not walking on the ground any longer, you know, like up there. He's unfazed. The text even says that he was unfazed and unaffected by the concerns of human beings. Like even he couldn't even care less about happiness, about relationships. Like he was just this guy floating on the air and so stoic and so cold, unaffected and unengaged to the human ailments, human whatever it is, the worldly stuff. And I read the text, and I read this text about Jesus, and I couldn't help but notice how different the reaction of Jesus was. We see in this story, Jesus was engaging with all of humanity. Like he was far from stoic, right? He was far from cold. He was compassionate. In fact, in other translations of this Mark chapter 1, it is said that Jesus was indignant at the leper, but it's still an emotional reaction. We see that Jesus was being so human in this text. He was responding to what was going on around him. He was emotive. He was engaging, incarnate in, I think, in every sense. And he was almost ordinary. And we also see that he didn't have any negative view of the material world or the physical world. Jesus was responding to the people that he met, the leper and the paralytic, in terms of the needs that they have, which is physical. There's no like, that's just material stuff. That's just physical stuff. Focus on the spiritual, man. We don't see that kind of an attitude in Jesus. And of course, the ultimate affirmation of this humanity, it came when Jesus healed them, right? And I want to point out three aspects in which Jesus brought healing to the paralytic and the leper. The first, obviously, is the healing of bodies, the healing of physical. I think we all would know that leprosy or similar infectious skin diseases were untreatable those days, and they would live out in the outside of the village. And so it's a very traumatic kind of disease that they live with their whole life that impacts the way they look at themselves, they look at the world. And Jesus, of course, heals them, heals that leper. The paralytic guy, of course, again, such a traumatic experience, right? To be paralyzed, to be not be able to move around, to see people moving around and realize that he cannot do that. And yes, of course, Jesus heals their bodies. But also, I want to point out that Jesus healed the social aspect of these two persons, if I may put it that way, the healing of communities. Because as I mentioned, lepers were not allowed to live within the cities, the confines of the city. They were ostracized to live outside of the social boundaries. And again, that talks about how the disease breaks their community, the sense of community, the sense of social life. And so when Jesus heals the leper, he tells the leper to go to the temple and to be affirmed by the synagogue, the priest, because that's what happens. Lepers are not supposed to commune with the people, to relate with the people in the same way. And when Jesus healed the leper, he was telling the leper, now you can go and relate with them. You can be welcomed back into this community. And I really found the way the leper was reacting very beautiful. After Jesus sent him off, he told him, don't tell anybody about this. But we see the leper could not stop talking about it, right? He every person he meets, almost, I guess. Just think about the contrast, right? A man who lived pretty much his whole life avoiding people, not even to be seen by people, forget about talking to people, avoiding people. Now he's been healed. He can't stop talking. He can't stop relating to people. He can't stop, you know, just telling people about what happened to him. What a change that happened to him, right? And we see, for me, I see this as the healing of relationships, healing of communities that happens when Jesus healed him. And the third thing I want to point out is the healing of the soul. For lack of a better word, I'm just calling it healing of the soul, or healing of what is spiritual, what is the depths of the person. When the paralytic man was healed, Jesus told him, go home, pick up your bed and go home. And I find that very beautiful. Think about this paralytic man. His whole life, he's searching for some resolution. He's searching for some sense of groundedness. He's restless. He's looking at this deep existential, deep spiritual almost crisis that he's living with. And Jesus heals him and tells him, okay, now you can go home. Now you can rest. Now you can have resolution to this crisis that you have. And so we see when Jesus told, first of all, the leper, be healed or be cleansed, he was healing the body. But when Jesus told him, go to the synagogue and be and show yourself to the priest, he was healing the community. And when Jesus told the paralytic, go home, be at rest, he is healing the deep spiritual or the soul, the crisis of the soul. So he was healing the spiritual as well. So we see that Jesus affirms the full range of humanity, not just the spiritual aspect, but we see Jesus affirming the body, the community, the soul, the spiritual. And this made me think about some of my friends, okay, in India and Nepal. I remember the testimony that they would tell me about their life. They would tell me about their conversion stories. And they would say, I can name 2-3 people of my close friends who were like this. They said, somebody was sick in my family. My dad was sick and there was no hope. And somebody told us to pray to Jesus and we prayed and he got healed. And I used to listen to these stories and in the back of my mind those days, I used to be like, but that's not the real reason, right? You come to Jesus. You come to Jesus because of the sin, the cross and all that. But now I think I understand better because I think that's the same argument that people, critics of Christians, often level at Christians, and they call them rice Christians. I think some of you might have come across that. You became Christian because you got rice, or you got food, or you got education, or whatever. But what those critics fail to understand is that it's not just the food, the rice, the education. It's about being affirmed, being accepted. Christ gives them dignity beyond just the physical healing. Christ gave them some sense of dignity, some sense of affirms their whole humanity, whole range of humanity. And I think that's important. When I listen to my friends who chose to follow Jesus Christ because they experienced healing in their families, because Christ reached out to them. And when medicine could not help them, or when society looks down on them because of their caste or class or whatever, Jesus refuses to look at them on this, on those basis, and accepts their whole humanity, whole range of humanity. So in a sense, I realize, understand now that for them, when they accept Jesus Christ, they accepted him because Jesus does not take care of just one abstraction that we call sin, but he takes care of the real tangible restoration that sin brings about in our life. So that's one thing that came to my mind, and that's the evidence of how not just Jesus Christ, but even his followers through history have done this, and how people come to Christ because they receive healing, not just for one aspect, but for the full range of the humanity. I think as we think about that, it's important for us to tie this to the claims of Jesus. And the claims of Jesus can be elaborated when we think about what the Pharisees were saying. The Pharisees were questioning, how can this guy claim such a thing? Because only God can forgive sins. I think in a sense they were right, because they were asking the right questions. How can there be healing of communities? How can there be healing of body and souls when there is sin? When there is the problem of sin? When there's the sort of alienation from God that comes because of sin? The Pharisees were in a way right to ask that. But what they were wrong was that they did not accept what Jesus was claiming. And Jesus claimed in this text, Mark chapter 2, he claimed that he could forgive sins. He claimed to be one with God, essentially. He calls himself the Son of Man. He claims that he is able to forgive sin and undo the effects of sin in body, in community, in spirit, in all aspects of humanity. He is able to restore the alienation from God that comes because of sin. So it's very important that we understand this story, this narrative, in line with the claims of Jesus, which is that he is the Son of Man. He is proclaiming the kingdom of God. But having said that, I think it's worth just reflecting very briefly before I close on our mission. And what does this story tell us or inform us about our particular mission in declaring or witnessing to Jesus? I would suggest that there are two ways to think about it. One is, just like Jesus affirms the full humanity of people, I think it calls us also to affirm the full humanity even as we think about mission. Not just the physicality, the material, the social, the spiritual aspect. And I think it impacts the way we think of mission, impacts the way we think of our purpose and our role in this earth. And our role is to affirm and to bring people to a fuller realization of their humanity. I think it affirms our work and our engagements in this world. In this world, as we think about, as we go about in our life, we may not necessarily be doing Christian things, but we are joining in what Christ did when he affirmed the humanity of people, when we help people around us, when we take care of our families, when we help people who are facing either physical or spiritual or social alienation, crisis, and we are there for them. I think we are participating in what Christ did in this earth. And I think it empowers us to respond and to engage with the nitty-gritty of life, something that we might often think mundane and common, right? And we the way we engage with those common things in our life are all part of our calling, or part of our mission. The people around us, or even ourselves, who might need that affirmation, that could also be a part of our journey of affirming the full humanity, just as Christ did. So when we strive and when we work to bring healing to others, or to bring healing to ourselves, I think we are participating in the work of Christ. We are affirming their humanity. We are realizing that it is Christ who brings the complete affirmation of our humanity. And that leads us to the next point, which is Jesus, the Son of Man. We affirm the full humanity, but we do it in the light of Jesus, the Son of Man. We bring people to Jesus, who is the Son of Man, because Jesus brings healing. And the Bible tells us that Jesus is the first fruit, like a foretaste of our fuller humanity for those who follow him. The Bible calls him the forebearer, or even the second Adam. For those who follow him, we have the hope that just as Christ did in his full humanity, we are also, that is our future and our destiny. And so how we can participate in that is, first of all, obviously by prayer. If there are people around us or if there are contexts around us that needs that healing, we pray. Just like the four friends who brought the paralytic man, despite all that's going on around them, despite all the problems, they broke the roof and lowered the paralytic man to Jesus. In the same way, prayer is how we bring people to Jesus, in front of Jesus, to invite them to intercede for the person to Jesus. And so prayer obviously is one way we bring the person to Jesus, that Jesus might do his work. And of course, the second is to tell them about Jesus, to witness to them about Jesus and what he has done for you and what he could do for you. And as we do this, we remind ourselves that just like the leper who said, "If you will, you can make me clean." And I think there's an element of mystery there, that we cannot just force healing, or we cannot just force something to happen just like that. We bring it to we bring the situation to Jesus and let Jesus do the healing. Our role is to bring them to Jesus, to hear about Jesus, to learn about Jesus. So I think what I would like to summarize for today's thought is that we want to learn from Jesus, who understood his mission and his role as reaching out and giving his hand to a leper, okay? Who understood his mission as bringing healing to the body, to the community, and to the soul, even as he preached and even as he teach people about the gospel. We want to learn from Jesus. We want to follow Jesus, who affirms the full humanity with all its mess and its glory, right? Who understood his role and mission as bringing healing to the bodies, to the communities, and to spirit. So I think in doing that, we remind ourselves that we are doing it in light of who Jesus is, what he claims about himself, and his invitation for us to follow him. So my hope and my prayer is that as we reflect on this, God will continue to give us wisdom and help us in our own context, in the ground reality of our lives. In what way can we also follow Jesus in bringing healing and shalom, wholeness to the people in the context around us.